Peace and blessings, everybody. You're now welcome to Mr. Hip Hop Phenomenon. You're now tuned in. Yes, yes, people. I told you this time around, I was not playing. I was going to be more consistent again. And I was going to keep it hip hop first in this kosher. I was going to keep this hip hop kosher first and make sure that's there and obvious, right? Because that's why I started. I started to talk about the hip-hop culture, not the business, the hip-hop culture, okay? I told y'all I was back, people. There's a lot going on right now. I hope y'all enjoyed that solar eclipse. You know, for those who's into that, you know, that's beautiful and all, you know, to see something like that, you know, for God to give you a chance to see something like that. Let's be clear, right? That's a blessing just to see that the way we did, right? For those who viewed it. Okay. Also, too, I would like to give a very, very, very important shout out to the lovely, beautiful, strong queen in my life, my mother. Happy birthday. I wish you many, many more. Okay. Let us pray. Let's get it. Here to bring you a brief message by my sponsor, Core Anchor FM. Well, people, as time go on, other things elevate as well with time going on. And now Anchor is now officially Spotify for Podcasts, okay? The new name is Spotify for Podcasts. Yes, Anchor and Spotify for Podcasts emerged together. They emerged together. Spotify wanted to do something new, so they added a podcast structure into it, okay? So it's Spotify for Podcasts, in case y'all wondering, right? Where Anchor is at with it. In 2019, one in every eight people, or 970 million people around the world, were living with a mental disorder, with anxiety and depression disorder, the most common one. In 2020, the number of people living with anxiety and depression disorder rose significantly because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, like I always say, and I always advocate this, people, for those who have the knowledge to help a friend, family member, or associate, do so. Do so. You see a person struggling a little bit, having a bad day a little bit, you know, just, you know, find a way to uplift them, right? To let them know it's hope and that we all fall down. Okay? Now, with that being said, I like to talk about this female hip-hop artist, this legend. This beautiful personality, this great sense of humor of a person, this spiritual person, right? This family-orientated person, right? And she's actually from my mother's mother's hometown, Memphis, Tennessee, right? No other than Memphis, Tennessee. For those who know, their background is the blues, but hip-hop snuck in there some kind of way too, because the blues play a part in hip-hop. Like we said, we talked about different intricates and different elements of hip-hop, right? And that's one of them, right? And you wonder why. You know, from the South, Memphis 10, you know, for those who know about the culture down there should know, you know they seafood is good, know they blues, scene is great. They have their strip, every major city got a strip, right? And they got a strip that everybody march through and party and parade through as well. You know, and if you want to see that strip, you can look at Drake's video, Bad Behavior. And on that video, you know his father. I don't know, for those who don't know that his father's from Memphis, Tennessee, right? And he have a band himself, right? Well, anyway, when you see that video, you can actually see that strip being shown on the video and see the people down there, how they celebrate and represent Memphis, Tennessee, separate from the musical side of it all. Okay? We talking about, right? We talking about that one that stood tall. I mean, stood tall with a male predominated group in a male predominated industry at the time, right? We talk about no other than Lola Chantrell Mitchell, aka Lady Boo, aka the Devil Daughter, aka Gangsta Boo, people. That's what we talking about right now. Born August 7th, 1979, Memphis, Tennessee. Died January 1st, 2023, at age 43 in Memphis, Tennessee, people. And her genres and her music was Southern Hip Hop, Horrorcore, Gangsta Rap, G-Funk, Memphis Rap Trap, Crunk. Okay? For those who want to know why her music sounded the way it sounded, that's what's implicated in her music, okay? Moving on. Okay. Gangsta Boo was an American rapper. She rose predominantly as a member of 3-6 Mafia, which is she joined at the age of 14 after releasing a 6 albums. She left the group and it recorded label after the release of her second solo album, Both Worlds, 6ix9ine, 2001, due to financial disputes. We'll get to that later. An issue regarding promotion of the album. She subsequently released several solo albums and became known for collaborating with artists such as Eminem, Run the Jewels, LeChat, Big Lotto, Gorilla, Outkast, Foxy, Tanisha, Lil Jon, Yellow Wolf, and so off, etc., right? Tear the club up. Where them dollars at? Where those dollars at? Where them dollars at, okay? Okay? She was coming. She wasn't playing, right? And she was consistent. She was meaning something with this whole thing, right? She ain't come half-stepping in this kosher. She really boy, right? Lola Chantrell Mitchell was born in the Whitehaven area of Memphis, Tennessee. Yeah, see, Memphis, Tennessee is sectioned off as well as like a New York City. Though she was from a middle-class family, she said that later, moving to the hood after her parents' divorce, she started rapping at around the age of 14 years old, people. Yes. That's when she started rapping around, right? At the age of 14, we don't know what she started doing before that, right? Because I'm sure before that she grasped the music before 14, right? Because we grow up listening to music in our households. Okay. After being discovered by DJ Paul, Gangsta Boo became a member of 3-6 Mafia, making her the solo female member of the group. She made her first, and this is why she was so bold like that, because she did have something to prove in a group like that. Appearance on DJ Paul's mixtape, Volume 16, for the summer of 1994. Released in 1994, she was on the group 1995 debut album, Mystical Styles, and on 4 more albums until she ultimately left the group in 2001. Priorities in her solo career. And she was prioritizing her solo career as she should, right? Because of things in the group, on the group side. But that's a whole nother story, right? We're going to get to this career. In 2013, she joined the 3-6 Mafia spinoff group, The Mafia 6. Wow, look at that. Check that out. And was significantly featured on the debut mixtape, 6 Commandments. She departed from the group in 2014, people. Man, I tell you, it's a lot, man, that we learn every single day in life, right? Even when we think we know, it's still more to know, right? Gangsta Boo's first solo album, Inquiring Minds, was released in 1998, reaching number 15 on the Billboard Top R&B Hip Hop Album Charts, number 46 on the Billboard 200. The album featuring surprise hits Where the dollars at? Where them dollars at? Where them dollars at, right? Her second album, Both of Worlds, 6ix9ine, 2001, reached number 8 on the R&B hip hop charts and number 29 on the Billboard 200. In 2003, see, she was doing her thing, right? You know, she, I mean, come on, come on. The proof is in the music. She released her third album, Requiring Minds 2, the soap opera. The album peaked at number 53 on R&B hip hop charts and 24 on the independent album charts, right? In 2009, Gangsta Boo released her third mixtape. The rumors follow her previously mixtape, Street Ringer Volume 1 and Still Gangster. She also released two mixtapes with DJ Fletch, Mrs.com, No DJ Vision on iTunes. Check that out. She didn't let things stop her like that. She didn't let things get in her way. And even if she did, she jumped back up and got back into it. For the Hood, on June 27th, 2011, mixtape For the Hood. She released her mixtape with Trapaholics, Forever Gangster. See? That's the same year she collaborated with Yellow Wolf and Eminem on the song Throw It Up. Just her style right there. You heard me? That's her acquirement taste. Anything like that, she got it in pocket. You know what I mean? Because that's that crunk. That's half of her music right there in pocket. On May 27, 2014, she extended playing Witch, the collaboration with La Chat, which was another female artist that was part of 3-6 Mafia, was released on October 4th, 2014. Gangsta Boo teamed up with B-King and released a collaboration mixtape, Underground Cassette Tape Music Volume 1. In 2018, a successive mixtape titled Underground Classic Tape Music Volume 2 was released. Gangsta Boo was featuring on the Running Jew track, Love Again, Alcoholics Back, from day 2014 album Run the Jews 2. Check that out. And reappeared on the track Walking in the Snow from day 2020 album RTJ4. In 2022, she was featuring alongside a gorilla on the song FTCU by rapper Latto at the time of her death. She had been working on an album that was planned to be titled The Blueprint. Blueprint. That was, see, that was a new movement. That was a new branding. See, she was coming with the blueprint. The blueprint. The blueprint, right? Was a new beginning, a new chapter in her life, right? Before she perished. Okay. Mitchell was found dead on the front porch of her mother home in Memphis, Tennessee on January 1st. Wow. 2023. At the age of 43 years old. Still young. Still young and vibrant. On June 15, 2023, her cause of death was revealed as an accident overdose with fentanyl and cocaine and alcohol found in her system. The police stated that there was no evidence of foul play. Okay, it was a lot of different opinions on that, though. You know, her cousins and family members and friends that really cared about her was saying something different. But hey, only God knows what really happened, right? You know, and basically a conspiracy behind her death even, right? Because because her energy was so out there, you wouldn't believe she passed away anyway. Just, it's almost like, her favorite artist, Eazy-E or Tupac. Okay. Because Eazy-E was one of them she definitely looked up to. Solo albums. Requiring Minds, 1998. Both Worlds, 69. 2001. Requiring Minds 2. Opera 2003, with 3-6 Mafia, Mystical Styles 1995, Chapter 1 to End 1996, Chapter 2 World Domination 1997. Right? And the list just keep going on. Right? When the Smoke Clears 66-6-1 2000, Choice the Album 2001, Collaboration Albums Underground Volume 2, Club Memphis 1999, Underground Volume 3, Kings of Memphis 2000, with Tear the Club Up, Thugs, Crazy, The Last Days 1999, with The Mafia 6, Six Commandments 2013 with DJ Paul, Volume 16 for the summer of 1994 with DJ Paul, Lord Infamous, Come With Me to Hell, Part 2, 1995 with DJ Paul and Juicy J, Volume 3, Spring Mix, 1995 with Poet Posse, Body Parts, 1998 with the Hypnotic Camp Posse, 2000 with Le Chat Witch, 2014 mixtape Still Gangster with DJ Smalls, 2006 Memphis Queen Is Back, Still Gangsters, Slow Throwing, 2007. That's when you want to like, when you want to hear the real Memphis sound, like a Texas with their slow chop music, you know, like a Houston, Texas slow chop music. They got their slow throwing sound as well. Okay, it's moving on. The Rumors with DJ Drama, 2009. Mrs.com with DJ Fletch, 2010. For the Hood, DJ Fletch, 2011. Forever Gangster with Trapaholics, 2011. It's Game Is Involved, 2013. And they did Underground cassette tape music with B-Kings, 2014. Candy Diamonds Pills, 2015. Underground cassette tape music 2 with B-Kings, 2018. Okay, I tell you, she did not stop, right? I'm sure she did various different interviews, various different radio shows, and okay, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to more of the stuff that she did, right? Because it's so much. Okay? Let's get it. She wouldn't stop there, y'all. She wouldn't stop there. She will also, give me a second here, and on May 26th, 2022, appear on Marriage Boot Camp with her husband Emmett Floyds. Nearly, they was together a decade, okay, and he did not stop being with her, no matter if he was white, black, purple, or blue. Emmett Floyds did not leave her side, okay. He was with her to the end. Now, I don't know if he had anything to do with her overdose or anything like that, or influenced it. He was with her to the end. That's all that matters, right? I'm not a person that judge. Only God does that. That's God's job to judge it or judge another human being. That's his job. Okay. Moving on. She wouldn't even stop there. The list would goes on again. On September 16, 2022. Drink Champs interview. She would get awarded her flowers. She would talk about her life. She would talk about music. She would talk about the things she had going on, like Blueprint, the Blueprint album, the Blueprint label, the Blueprint merchandise. She would even be on there joking with Noriega, you know, expressing her personality, of who she really is, right, and what she really likes. She also showed that, I want to say, black punk rocker side of her. She showed some of that punk rocker personality too, if y'all didn't catch it. And she also showed who she looked up to, the shirt she was wearing. For those who didn't see it, need to check out that interview. It was a very deep, iconic interview, and it's not going to be forgotten at all. She would never be forgotten. That interview alone, you're going to remember her, right? You're going to remember that bubbly personality. You're going to remember that raw honesty coming out of her. Okay, because she definitely didn't have nothing to hide. She would even have conversations and topics about sex on Noriega's show, okay, without him even asking her on his podcast, okay. That just show how raw she was and how deep she was. But she came from a good background of a family. She was family oriented, and I'm sure they had a spiritual background as well, okay. With that being said, right, okay, she will also pass the torch to Gorilla, but I'm sure it was several other influences. I mean, of course, I'm sure it was like Lotto too, and several other young ladies who looked up to her, who implicated some of her music ideas and wordplay into their music. You know, and with that being said, that's beautiful right there, how she passed the torch like that to the young ladies, right? Because, you know, somebody need to do it in hip hop culture, right? Also, here, 3-6 Mafia versus Bone Thugs of Harmony versus mind-blowing, right? It was mind-blowing, right? Could you imagine 3-6 Mafia versus Bone Thugs of Harmony, right? Now, I ain't know too much about they disputes, right? But I knew about both groups' music, and I liked it both of their musics. I never thought one was better than the other, right? To make a long story short. But that would turn around, too, in the visual of the eye, right? Okay. They would get on stage. They would show themselves, right? And it would go from here. Before we even get started, your ugly motherfucking ugly aunt ain't fit to mock me while I'm on the mother effing stage. Busy said, while Bone Thugs and Harmony were finished, they track Buddha Love, Juicy restored it with a point, suck my, okay? And it would get heated up. And a bottle would get thrown and almost hit Gangsta Boo, right? Now, Gangsta Boo came on that stage with peace and love and happiness, right? For both groups, for both sides. Because they worked with each other at one time before they started having any disputes and all, right? But Gangsta Boo would be, how can you put it? The symbol of peace, love, and happiness on that stage, right? And about, you know, words would get exchanged, like I said. A bottle would get tossed on the other side of the stage and almost hit her. You know, and that was kind of, you know, and that was disrespectful because she came on stage with peace. But at the end of the day, blood is thick in the water. Of course, she's going to choose her group side, right? Because she see that, you know, for anybody with common sense, see, feel that and see that it was a disrespect being thrown at him. And, you know, she had to say a few things herself, right? But with that being said, things would turn around for the better for the viewers, right? That was watching this beautiful performance from Versus. And this great idea from Swiss and Timbaland, right? Well, turn around. They would start pounding each other, shaking hands and giving each other hugs and calming down and cooling down, realizing that they was doing it for the hip-hop culture, people. Not the business, the hip-hop culture. They kind of let that business get in between them, but they realized that it's for the culture. It's bigger than them. They realized it was bigger than them. This culture is bigger than them, right? So they put the differences aside, shook hands, gave hugs, show love, and start giving us what we was looking for all these years, right? And while doing that, you know, they went, well, 3-6 Mafia will have a lot of featurings going on, right? Because they did tons of featurings, right? They were, you know, people like 21 Savage would come on the stage. Lil Wayne would come on the stage with Juicy J and perform his club, you know, stripper dance song. Terrence Howard would come on stage and spit his heart out here like for a pimp off the Hustle and Flow movie soundtrack. And you know that was iconic, right? And actually, too, 3-6 Mafia, Juicy J, and DJ Paul and them got rewarded and got nominated for that movie. You know, they executive producer wrote some of that movie. And some of that movie was about the reflection of their real story as well. So something like that would kind of rub somebody the wrong way because it's kind of like a showboat showing off thing. But nevertheless, the show went on, right? With these iconic featurings coming on the stage, guests coming on the stage who featured on their songs, right? And Bone Thugs and Harmony would give shout outs to people that passed away, same as Juicy J did. He would shout out everybody that passed away on his, that he was connected to, and then Bone Thugs and Harmony turn around and shout out who they was connected to, and it was all beautiful after that. It was an uproar of performance, right? I'm talking about phenomenal performances from both sides, from both groups, both legendary groups in history right now. They are legendary groups. They will not be forgotten. Okay, their music influenced a lot of artists, people. I could just shoot out lists of people to y'all, okay? Drake, okay, is definitely one of them, right? Who was influenced definitely by 3-6 Mafia music, right? If not Bone Thugs and Harmony music, right? But us real hip hop goers, us real hip hop analysts know who was influenced by the music, right? And some of the female Southern singers was influenced by both of their musics, okay? Nipsey Hussle, Drake, 21 Savage, okay? Come on, Terrence Howard, he's an actor, okay? Lil Wayne, Cash Money, Click, okay? No Limit, Outkast, okay, was influenced by both groups' music, man, I'm telling you. And they was influenced by their music as well, because Outkast was out for a while too. They kind of, you know, they pretty much up there with both of these iconic groups, right? They are iconic group. So much to the point where they want Andre 3000 to come out with an album now, right? But I don't know if they're going to set that flute album. Now, he's supposed to be doing an album based off his flute instrument, right? I don't know if that's going to be accepted, but anything would do right now to hear Andre 3000, right? Because the last time I heard Andre 3000 was on Lil Wayne's album, okay? And that was a great song that he did with him, by the way. Okay? So many people was influenced by this group. I could lose my mind naming people who was influenced by these people, right? And it's horror crunk. You hear it in today's music. This, you know, I mean, crunk in general, right? See, they was dealing with rap trap crunk, right? Now, it's funny how Lil Jon came out with crunk music, right? See, y'all ain't catch that? Lil Jon invented crunk music. They invented, before Lil Jon came out rapping, rap, trap, and crunk music together, right? That just goes to show you how people was paying attention to detail of their body of work, right? And like I said, you know, they also had LaChat down with them. Let's don't forget, like, the other female artist, LaChat, in this moment with 3-6 Mafia, right? And actually, too, Bone Thugs and Harmony had female singers and female rappers down with the Mo Thug family as well, for those who didn't know. You know, when my listeners and followers, you know, when y'all got the downtime, really, really do y'all research on these two iconic groups. They had their own record labels and everything, movies, books, you name it. Before all this merch stuff started and all that, they was doing that back then. They established all that before social media even started. They established their merch, record label, signing artists before social media. Okay? So for my followers and listeners, peace and blessings.